Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. Neo-Darwinists seek to discredit proponents of intelligent design by labeling them as anti-science and through ridicule, the implication being that no one interested in real science could ever be a proponent of intelligent design. According to them, any ideas about an intelligence directing the structure of living things should have been put to rest with the publication of On the Origin of Species in 1859. But there's an embarrassing problem with this perspective that Darwinists would prefer to avoid. One of the co-founders of the theory of evolution by natural selection, Darwin's friend and colleague, a man whose letter actually spurred Darwin to write his most famous work, Alfred Russel Wallace, believed in intelligent design. The Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture sought to capture on film this fascinating story of Wallace and his ideas. Inspired by the biography Alfred Russel Wallace, A Rediscovered Life, by Discovery Institute fellow and University of Alabama Birmingham professor Michael Flannery, the documentary explores Wallace's relationship with Darwin, where their ideas diverged, and their ultimate falling out. It also depicts why Wallace's lifetime of research following the publication of Origin of Species led him closer to modern intelligent design theory. The co-founder of the theory of evolution through natural selection could not share his views in a classroom today without first engaging in court battles. Sadly, even though this historic giant lived a life of scientific adventure, living with headhunters and gathering so many specimens of creature that he's been labeled a Victorian Indiana Jones, it's unlikely that most students would ever be introduced to him today, until now. The Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture is making Darwin's Heretic, the story of Alfred Russel Wallace, available to stream free online at darwinsheretic.com so that students of all ages can be introduced to this remarkable man and his ideas. In addition, there's a new website, alfredwallace.org, that will feature educational resources, videos, book excerpts, and more information about the remarkable Alfred Russel Wallace. Here to talk about it with me is Dr. John West, the Associate Director of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Dr. West wrote, directed, produced, and played the key role in putting virtually every aspect of this film together. Dr. West, this is the most ambitious video project the Discovery Institute has done to date. What was the motivation to choose this as the first big video project?
Well, we've actually been involved in a lot of different video projects that are far more ambitious than this, but you're right. For in-house, something that we produced ourselves, this is probably the biggest thing we've done to date. Really, the thoughts just came about because we were doing another project on Alfred Russel Wallace, which was we published this biography that historian Michael Flannery had written on Wallace, and we thought it would be a good topic to do a video on.
Darwin's a household name, but Wallace has been overlooked, and many people who might be very familiar with the name Charles Darwin would have never heard of Alfred Russel Wallace. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a variety of reasons, but certainly one of them is the fact that Alfred Russel Wallace, the co-discoverer with Darwin of the theory of evolution by natural selection, ended up embracing intelligent design. And I think that is Darwinism's dirty little secret that the co-founder of the theory ended up breaking with Darwin on whether unguided processes like natural selection and random variation could explain all the intricate complexity we see, including the human mind and including a lot of other things. And so the fact that the very co-founder of the theory ended up embracing design is something many Darwinists don't know, and those who do know it really don't want to talk about it because it doesn't fit with the script, which is Darwin comes down from the mountain like Moses with his Origin of Species, and then everyone rolls over and sees the light and have the hallelujah chorus going on in the background, when in fact the co-discoverer of the very theory with him ends up breaking with Darwin on this question about whether there's discernible evidence of design in biology. So on the other hand, that is one reason why we're so intrigued with Alfred Russel Wallace, because many people don't know this story, and it helps raise some questions that I think people try to avoid about what does the evidence show, and if the co-discoverer of the very theory ended up embracing intelligent design, maybe there's some evidence there worth discussing.
Yeah, it certainly brings up the idea that maybe that evidence wasn't quite so compelling in one direction as we would be led to believe. How did Alfred Russel Wallace inspire the origin of the species?
He didn't so much inspire on the origin of species as he was coming to the same conclusion sort of in parallel track. Darwin had been puttering with his ideas and working on a manuscript that he could never bring to publication because it wasn't just right. And there were just a lot of different reasons. But then, sort of at the same time frame, Alfred Russel Wallace was on Borneo, in the islands around Borneo, actually Ternate, and he was in a malarial fever and came up basically with the same idea as Darwin about natural selection or survival of the fittest and working on random variations in being able to produce these evolutionary changes. And then he wrote a letter to Charles Darwin, and when Darwin got the letter, he was surprised because he found himself being scooped on what he had already been working on but had not published. And so this didn't inspire Darwin to have his ideas. It did lay down the law that Darwin had to get his ideas out publicly. So as soon as Darwin got the letter, basically he and his friends hatched this idea that they would jointly announce this idea, giving primacy to Darwin and sort of Wallace as a footnote at a science and professional meeting in London.
So it's like competition between colleagues.
Yes. Actually, you might view it that Wallace sort of gave Darwin the boot to get off his duff and actually get his theory out there.
And what prompted Wallace and Darwin to part ways intellectually?
Wallace being open about the evidence. Just to be clear, Wallace throughout his life did believe in common ancestry, that all the things in life really come from one or a few original common ancestors. So in that sense, he didn't break with Darwin. But on the key issue is evolution guided or unguided? Does it require intelligence? Is there actual evidence, discernible evidence in nature that we're the product of an intelligent mind, not just a blind process like Darwin thought? That is where he broke with Darwin, and it was really based on the evidence. And the first evidence that just smacked him sort of in the head was the evidence from human beings. Because if you look at human beings, we have lots of things like the human mind that far outstrip our need for survival. If you look around in nature, there are lots of things that survive perfectly well without the human mind. And things like humor and the love of the arts and even abstract mathematics, which eventually may have some survival benefit early on, probably doesn't. And so Wallace looked at this and said, well, how would natural selection explain these things? Now, the typical route of many Darwinian ideologues is, well, the evidence doesn't fit. They come up with what might be called a just-so story. They sort of, after the fact, create up some just very creative explanation to try to make the facts fit. Wallace, to his credit, looked at it and said, the human mind, for example, isn't a good candidate for something that natural selection could explain, because natural selection can only select things that have clear survival utility, not 100 years from now, but right now. So it's not a good candidate for something natural selection could explain. Well, what could explain it? Well, we know that minds and intelligence can intelligently design things. And so he thought that the human mind and many other things about human beings and our unique capabilities were better explained, as he said, by an overruling intelligence. And so he published this in the late 1860s in a journal while Darwin was alive. And Darwin viewed it as treason. Darwin was apoplectic and just horrified. And in fact, in Darwin's own copy of the journal article, he wrote no with exclamation points. I mean, he just really was distressed and wrote his friend Alfred Russel Wallace about how distressed he was. And so that's sort of how the beginning of it happened.
You know, there's an exciting aspect to Wallace's character. You refer to him in the film, Darwin's Heretic, as the Indiana Jones of the Victorian era. Describe why that is and the challenges that you faced trying to bring some of that to life in a documentary feature.
Wallace, in many ways, is much more fit with telling a story than Darwin. I know there have been attempts to tell Darwin's story, but other than Darwin going out on the equivalent of what might be called ecotourism, where he went on the Beagle for a while, you know, a substantial while, but then they basically stop briefly at ports and he'd go on land to visit a few things and then go back on the ship. Wallace actually went to places and lived there for a long time and in different parts of the world. He was a real adventurer. So he started out actually in South America in the Amazon River, and going up and exploring the Amazon and living there among the native peoples. And then he collected a lot of things and he tried to go back. He was on a ship the ship started to burn, started a fire, and then sank. And so then he was in a lifeboat on the open sea for more than a week before he was rescued with some other people. And then after he went back to England, he decided to go to a completely different part of the world, out there in Malaysia in the Pacific and Borneo and the Malay archipelago. And he then lived with headhunters there and actually said that he felt more at home and safer with the headhunters there than in the streets of London. So he really had an adventuresome life and collected more than 100,000 specimens from beetles to butterflies to birds of paradise in his lifetime.
And that's what makes his absence from the storyline so inexplicable, because as you say, not only was he among the minds to come up with the theory, but he's also such an exciting character. You would think that he would be more prominent in these conversations.
And more than that, after he developed the theory of evolution by natural selection, he then went on to found a whole field of biology called biogeography. And so, I mean, he was one of the top natural scientists at the end of the 19th, early 20th centuries.
Darwin's Heretics is going to be available to stream for free online. When is it going to happen and why?
Starting on January 21st on a YouTube page set up for it, but they can access it through darwinsheretic.com. And we want to make this available. This is an untold story. It's a story that really will change your view of the history of science and change your view of evolution when you understand that the co-founder of the theory actually thought there was evidence of intelligent design. And so we want to make this as widely available as possible. So yes, it's available for free. Also, if you want a DVD, you can get that through Amazon, and that has more than 40 minutes of additional bonus material. This actual documentary is only about 21 minutes long, so you don't need a long time to watch it, but then we have some 40 minutes of extra features and things on the DVD about Wallace's life. And you know, this is a great discussion starter for people. And I encourage people to encourage their friends who may be Darwinists to listen and watch it and see what they think, because it, again, brings up something they likely do not know about, and it will force them to at least confront some questions like, maybe you can be an actual scientist and embrace intelligent design. In fact, Wallace's founding of the field of biogeography, that happened after he embraced evidence for intelligent design, not just for human beings, but in the development of birds and metamorphosis, in all sorts of things, in the origin of life from non-life, in the actually operations of the cell, which they were just beginning to understand. All these things, he found clear evidence of design. And I think some people who support Darwin's theory will be surprised when they are confronted with this. And the other thing about Wallace is today it's often thought that if you believe in design, well, you must be a right-wing Christian Bible thumper. Wallace was so far from that. I mean, he, first of all, was not a Christian, didn't believe that the Bible was authoritative in anything. He was, I would say, a general sort of theist by the end of his life, of thinking that there was something out there beyond us, but he certainly wasn't a Christian, and he certainly wasn't a right-winger. In fact, he was a socialist and wrote things outside of science about nationalizing property and things that I wouldn't particularly agree with, but my point is that he was an honest broker about the evidence. He changed his mind on this because he was confronted by the evidence and decided to go where the evidence led him.
As you say, Darwin's Heretic is only about 22 minutes long, so people don't need a long time to watch it, but it also moves quickly, too.
Well, we tried, and we hope to do better and better, but there are a lot of visuals in there. We didn't want it to just be talking heads, and so we tried to show something of the areas in which Wallace lived in and highlight some of his own words. And the narration is by a wonderful British narrator. And in fact, then we have someone from Britain who's done a lot of BBC documentaries and radio dramatization who actually reads some of the actual words of Wallace about design.
Well, don't forget to see Darwin's Heretic for yourself online at darwinsheretic.com and check out the new website, alfredwallace.org, for more resources and information about the remarkable Alfred Russel Wallace. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information or to support the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, please go to idthefuture.com and click the yellow donate button. This podcast is copyright 2012 The Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.